Okay? Let's stand, alright? So you read God's word. Let's stand. Second book of John, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Verse 2.
For the truth's sake, which is never in us, shall not be with us forever.
Verse 3.
Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love.
Verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. Verse 5.
And now I receive thee the lady, now as though I brought a new commandment unto thee, by that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another.
This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 8.
Look into yourselves, and we will lose not those things which we have brought, but we will seal the full reward.
Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, and not God, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed.
For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full.
Okay, verse 13, let's read together. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you to explore, Father, the wonderful letter, Lord, that you have given the Apostle John to write, Apostle of Love, in 2 John. And Lord, we pray we might bring home, Lord, precious lessons tonight that would revolutionize our life. Father, we know that thy word is given for a lamp to us, so the aspects of our lives can be changed, so that we can be more and more like Jesus Christ. Lord, that's our desire tonight, that you teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let's give you some background, all right, to 2 John. Okay, John was written by John, okay, the Apostle John. Apostle John wrote how many books in the Bible? Huh? Four? Wrong. Five. Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Okay, 5 John. Okay, all right. Okay, it was written by the Apostle John. Okay, Apostle John, he is one of the how many disciples? 12. Okay, and what is so special about him? What happened to him that didn't happen to the other apostles? Sorry, he. Okay, he didn't die a martyr. Okay, interestingly, he was actually thrown. History tells us he was actually thrown into a pot of boiling oil and didn't die. Okay, he was supposed to be martyred. He was thrown into a pot of boiling oil. He didn't die. And Emperor Nero was so angry. Okay, I can kick you out. Okay, I'm going to push you away, far, far away, so you have no influence over anyone. All right, all alone in the island of Patmos, God gave him an influence, even stretches up to today in the book of Revelation. All right, man can push us away, but when we live for God, God can still use us. All right, so we thank God for that. So the Apostle John is written about AD 90. Okay, these are some things that you may want to put down in AD 90. And the second book of John, the key thoughts that John had in the second book of John was truth in our love and truth in our life. To have truth in our love and have truth in our life. John's purpose appears to be reinforcing godly living by stressing Christian love and warning of false teachers already spreading during that time. You realize that by the first century, when Christianity was beginning to spread like wildfire, already false doctrine was coming in already. Satan has two strategies. Firstly, he uses threats. Alright, he will threaten Christians. Okay, you become a Christian, this is what's going to happen to you. Okay, that's threat. Number two, he uses what? Corruption. Okay, he also said, go ahead and live what you want, but I'll corrupt you as we go along. Okay, Satan knows that he cannot destroy God's word. All right, all along he's been trying to kill Christians, destroy Bibles. He knew that didn't work. Because he didn't realize, well, I wouldn't say he didn't realize. Remember the Bible says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You know, the more Christians died, the more Christians sprang up. Okay? And Christ was able to use even their death to glorify Him. And so, Satan begins to use corruption. Okay? So that's why we have different versions today, different types of Christians today, different so-called abomination or denominations today, okay, in different areas. So, Satan is trying to, and in the last days, okay, this is one of the, in Matthew 13, in the last days, there will be the spreading of false teaching. And so, John, interestingly, towards the end, the Apostle John was the last apostle to survive. Okay, he died probably about AD 95, up thereabouts. And he had disciples such as Polycarp and Ignatius. Okay, these are the so-called church fathers of the first century. But he was towards the end, he was the last surviving apostle. And one of the things he preached very hard was to protect the church with the truth. Okay, so I'm going to go through from verse 1 to verse 13 and highlight a few lessons for us. Okay. Verse 1, 2 John 1 verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady. The word elder has to do with the so-called the pastor. Okay, John oftentimes in his epistles doesn't refer to himself as John. He just calls himself the elder, or the youth have learned last week that he called himself the apostle whom Jesus loved. Okay, and so here, the elder unto the elect lady. The word elect lady has to do with election, alright? Election is actually a Bible doctrine. Okay, he was writing to, apparently John was writing to a lady with her children in the house. Okay, it's interesting, the reason why some commentators actually believe that he's actually writing to a lady was because last time churches meet in houses like this, but the house can only house maximum 12 people. Okay, maximum 12, and the houses are pretty small. It's kind of like from here to here. I think you see that in the Philippines. Some houses are pretty small. Right? Some houses. So it's about like this cubicle, like 12 people stay in there. Okay? And so literally there were no big houses like this. Everyone was in little houses. Okay? I mean, the apostle went literally from house to house breaking bread. Okay? And so John was apparently writing specifically to a lady with her children. Now the problem with that it's a little bit inappropriate for an apostle man to write to a lady. So another interpretation of this is, and I'm more likely inclined to believe this, John was using what we call allegories. He was actually writing to a church with her members. Does it make sense? Okay, the elect lady. After I give you one of the Bible reasons why I believe that. Okay, so John was writing to this group of Christians, and he says this, whom he loved in the truth. Now what does he mean to love in the truth? The Bible says love in the truth simply means, the word in has the idea of a position. Okay, it denotes a position. In the position of truth. I love you in the position of truth. This means the person voluntarily, unconditionally, uses Bible truth as her basis and reason for loving another person. I say again, this person voluntarily and unconditionally uses Bible truth, God's word, as the person's basis and reason for loving the other person. It's interesting because the word love is agape. The John uses agape. In other words, the elder unto the elect lady and the children whom I agape in the truth of the Bible. Okay? And of course, towards the end, and he also said, but not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So in the first verse, John introduces, I'm the elder, I'm writing to this group of Christians, and this group of Christians, I'm expressing my love based on the truth of God. Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Notice the construction of this verse, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. Now, what is John referring to here? Anyone? What is John referring to? For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. What is John talking about here? Sorry? Holy the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's called the Holy Spirit of truth. Yes. The word of God. Okay, that's one. Okay, what else? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When he says this, John is saying, for the truth's sake, on two levels. One, for Christ's sake, and for what Christ stands for, the truth of God. Okay? And John saying, these two things dwell in us, and notice, and shall be with us forever. Okay? And that's important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, let's turn there, and then you can jot it down, alright, in your notes and all that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. In other words, he said, what we are doing is for Christ's sake. I'm writing you for Christ's sake, I'm living for Christ's sake, and for His truth's sake. I'm loving you in the Bible for Christ's sake and for His truth's sake. Okay, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2. Begin. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Okay? This verse is a principle that every truly born again Bible believer must stand for. We must do everything for the truth and not against the truth. Okay? And it's important because John is actually highlighting truth a lot here. Verse 3. Grace be unto you. Grace be with you. Peace and mercy from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In other words, he says, usually the apostles will use greetings like this. And you say, oh, grace be unto you. That means, may God's unmerited favor, may God's unmerited favor, okay, God's goodness shown to man be on you. Okay, it's like a blessing, alright? And you realize that when you bless a person, you are not the person who blessed, but it shows your heart towards that person. Does that make sense? You always wish well of that person. In the Pentecostal charismatic movement, there's this thing called a word faith movement. They'll come to you, brother, God will bless you, you'll be a pastor, that kind of thing. Alright? And they believe it will happen because they said it. That's called a word faith movement. There's a whole Rhema Center in Perth where I studied. Basically, they say, you say it, we call it, name it and claim it. Does that make sense? All right, it's a word faith thing. You say, oh, God bless you, and I know that God is going to give you $1 million the next whatever. And of course, you go, ting, ting. When we wish people, remember, we have no power to confer that on that person. We are saying, look, I care for you so much and I'm praying that God's favor will be on you. Does it make sense? I'm praying that God's blessings will be on you. That was the Apostle John. He loved the people so much that he wanted God's unmerited favor and so God's mercy. Alright? And let's put it this way. We oftentimes sin and we definitely need God's mercy. Alright? In the little things of life, we need God's mercy on us. And so Apostle John is saying, grace be with you, mercy with you, and in life there is going to be a lot of tribulations. And he also wishes peace on the people as well. Okay? Through the difficult times. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in both truth and love. In the truth of God and in love that God brings. Okay? Verse 4. John says, goes on to actually then express his joy. Okay? I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. John expresses his joy here as he found. The word found means he saw evidence. He saw evidence of the lady's children walking in the truth. Okay? And this is vital because many Christians say, I'm a Christian, but can we see fruit? Can we see fruit? Can we see the evidence? Okay? John says, look, I rejoice because I found of thy children. I can see the evidence in their lives. And their children were walking in truth. Notice two things. The word walking has to do with living the life. Truth has to do with God's word. So they are walking in line with the truth of God's word. Does that make sense? Okay? And so the Apostle John says, I rejoice greatly because your children, I found evidence that your children are walking in consistency with Bible truth. With Bible truth. Okay? Their lives were consistent with the truth Christ teaches. The way they walk in the truth was exactly... Okay, this is important. I found thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. The word as there has to do with in the same way. Okay? Similarly. So in other words, I found of thy children walking the truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. God says we are to obey Christ based on His word. And the apostles found, hey, whatever God said, I can see it in your life. Whatever God said, I can see in your life. That's what John says. Whatever I hear God says, I can see it in your life. That's what he's saying. Okay? The way they walk in the truth was exactly the way God the Father gave them commandment. Okay? Verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though, I will highlight the lessons later, alright? Just go through and then think through the points, alright? Think through the meaning of the verses before we capture the lessons at the end. Verse 5. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. John writes to remind this elect lady to love one another because it is a command. Okay? It's interesting, love is a command. But we learn that it's also a free will thing. But God commands those who say that they are Christians to love another person. Verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. This is a very important point here, where John marries love and truth. Okay? This is a very important verse, because John takes love, an emotion so-called, but in God's thinking, it's actually a decision. He takes love, and he takes truth, and puts them together in this verse. He says this, "This is love, the genuine, biblical, accepted way of love is what?" John said, "This is love, that we walk after His commandments." That means, genuine, Bible, biblically accepted love is that we obey God and keep His commandments. Does that make sense? Any questions on this one? Is the Bible pretty clear? This is love, that we walk after His commandment. In other words, if our love is not after His commandment, it's not genuine. Or, let's put it this way, it's not from heaven. It's not the type of love that God requires. Any questions? This is important because I'm sure all of us are loving people. But we need to actually check where the basis of our love is. It's what we feel, how we think the situation is, or what God says is. Okay? Because John says so clearly, this is love. This is the word love there is agape. This is unconditional love, that we walk after His commandments. He's actually describing love now. Okay? To do what God says is better than to talk about it. Okay, this is what John tells the lady, and you know it already. He said in verse 6, okay, the last part, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Okay, you guys know about it already, so let's just do it. In verse 7, in the practice of love, what happens is, John was warning, okay? Now, it seems to be a little bit of disjoint. That means it's gone disjointed, because on the one hand, he's talking about love, then all of a sudden, he turns his attention towards deceivers, okay, antichrist people. Why is that? What happened during those times was, there were many, like I said this now, different house churches, right? And you know, the apostles will go from house to teach. You know what? The false teachers do that too. Kind of like the Jehovah's Witness today. They'll go house to teach. And John says, your love, because the elect lady was very hospitable, apparently, to the people, you know, they were taught to be hospitable to strangers, Hebrews chapter 13, you need to be hospitable, you cannot chase people out. You know what? John says, look, there is a line drawn when it comes to love, because your love must be in the truth. There's going to be a lot of people who's going to come, and they're deceivers, they're going to come, and what they're going to do is try to, as you welcome them in love, you know, there's one thing, it's good to be big-hearted, okay? But even big hearts have a, you know, if you draw, even big hearts have a boundary, what John is trying to do is to protect the church during that time. Yes, by all means love, but remember you need to love in the truth. There is a line drawn. Alright, let's go on first in verse 7. Because as they were living and they were being loving and they were obeying the commandments, there were also false teachers coming along. And so they could actually welcome these people into their houses, feed them and all that, because that's an expression of love. Yes? Alright? When someone is in need, you would express your, like for example, what happened with Sister Shaoling and the family that tried to help, and there's a need, you just love, unless they come and try to preach you Hindu doctrines and that kind of thing. But there's a line drawn. That's what John is trying to highlight to the believers. Open up your heart as much as you can, but there's a line drawn. Okay? And I think this is very vital for Ambassador Baptist Church, because God has taught us to be big-hearted. Amen? God has really taught us to be big-hearted. But you know, John here says there's a line drawn. We need to be careful, because our love must be based on truth. Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now this is very obviously people who are cults, okay? The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and other cults as well. How many of you read the article in the newspaper about the Seventh-day Adventist who actually sat down and kind of tried to explain to the people that they're not a cult? But they are. Alright? Okay, their salvation is based on following the Mosaic Law, which Paul says is done away with. Okay? And so, I'm sure they are kind people and loving people, but they need to be saved. You know what? If you follow the Mosaic Law to be saved, you are saying Jesus Christ didn't do what he did. Or he did what he did, but it wasn't enough. You realize the Seventh-day Adventists also believe, we guys are late. Jesus have come already. Did you know that? In their teaching, the second coming of Christ has already happened as far as the Seventh-day Adventists. And right now, Jesus is in heaven taking down notes about who and all that. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Okay? And so there are false errors teaching that has been propagated. We need to be careful, okay, as Christians. These are people who confess not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. You know what John says? This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Anyone who comes and say, it's very hard to, I think all of us know that maybe some of our friends, mom or dad, maybe a JW or a Mormon, as much as we care for them, God calls them, through the Apostle John, a deceiver and an antichrist. The word anti means against Christ, and that's a very serious charge, but based on the Bible, there's a real charge as far as God is concerned. Okay? I want to say this as I teach this, this is actually said in love, because that's what John wants the church to understand. Okay, this is given to Christians. Verse 8. Now this is important. Oh, sorry, let me give you two verses for verse 6 first. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 15. Maybe on my left, you turn to Brother Joshua's group, okay? John 14:15. Brother Taylong's group on here, you turn to John 14:21. Okay? I just want to highlight the fact that God says that this is love, that we walk after His commandments. Okay? John 14:15. You all read? Ready? One, two, go. You all read? Okay. John 14:15. Jesus Himself said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. John 14:21. Ready? One, two, go.
He that loveth me, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
The Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry taught this so simply, but so clearly. Can I ask all of us not to miss this? This is the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to love, when truth and love comes together. He says, if you love me, if you really say you have a loving relationship with me, in your life, Jesus says, I need to see you following everything I say. Every mom and dad understands this. When our children don't listen to us, there's a break, right? It's a very simple issue, challenge of obedience. And Jesus goes on to say, verse 21, he that hath my commandments, that means there's a possession, all of us have God's commandments in the Word, and keepeth them. The word keep means to preserve, to guard it, like kind of like a soldier guarding, alright, a camp. If you have my commandments and keep them, Jesus says, he it is that loveth me. In other words, you don't want to find out how you know who really loves the Lord Jesus? Just look at what they do for the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm not mincing anything. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay? And so if we have this 20 things Jesus wants us to do and we do only half, are we being obedient? Okay? Look, we are not perfect. But let's aim for it. Let's aim to grow towards what Christ says to be perfection, okay? So when we love God, we will keep His commandments because... And then he, verse 7, he changes the topic to highlight deceivers because he knows when he teaches this elect lady and the children who is walking in truth, I mean, this is an apostle teaching the this group of people. Obviously, they're going to listen to Apostle John. But then he says, as much as you love these people, there is a line drawn. You must love them in the truth. Why? Because they are deceivers entering into the world. Verse 8, alright? I already talked about verse 7, verse 8. He says this, look to yourselves. The word look to yourself simply means be on guard. Be on guard. When there are spiritual enemies around us, when you find that there are things that you find yourself overwhelmed by the trials and tribulations and you find yourself... You know, when things happen in our life, you know what we try to do first? Or we try to solve the problems first. Right? Okay? Now, coming to the spiritual enemies, it could be, you know, spiritual enemies could be laziness. Spiritual enemies could be discouragement. When you try to serve the Lord, things happen. The first thing John says is to look to yourself. You need to take care of yourself spiritually. Guard your garden. One of the things I've learned, understand this, Satan doesn't play by the rules. Satan does not play by the rules. God does. Okay? That simply means, as you are trying to do your best for God, you'll be surprised. Satan can just do a backward and hit you from behind. And tell you, you know, the victory we had in terms of many people added to the church because of baptism and all that. Satan is doing his work. As pastor, I feel it very keenly. You need to look to yourselves. Guard your heart. That's what John is saying here. As you see the deceivers come in, you love them, but firstly, guard your heart. Don't let any false teaching or philosophies of this world to come in and then distract you from what is real, what you have known before, in terms of what you have done in terms of a service. And people come in, or philosophies that come in that will change that. Because he was warning the elect lady and the children about the false deceivers. So he said, you must guard your heart first. You must know in your heart what doctrine you believe in. You must know in your heart. You can love, yes, but there is a line to it. There's a truth. You must love in the truth. Alright? That's what he's saying. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, I mentioned this before. In Proverbs 4, 23, keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it flows the issues of life. The things that come out, the belief system that comes out from, comes from the heart. And your heart must be based on Bible truth. That's what John is teaching the elect lady. Whatever Jesus taught, after he highlighted even more, right? And the reason why you look to yourself is that we lose not those things which we have wrought. As I look across the room, many of you have spent time serving the Lord. And I'm thankful for it. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ will bless you richly. But you know what? John is warning this elect lady, as you serve the Lord, look to yourself. Guard your heart. Why? That you lose not those things which you have wrought. That has to do with whatever that you serve God, you actually get a reward, right? You get a reward. All right? When you serve God, God rewards you. John says, guard your heart so you won't lose your reward. Okay? Because if we serve God and suddenly we change our perspective towards what service to God should be or the Word of God should be, God says that we can actually lose our reward. Does that make sense? All right, let me explain. All right, let's say you are given a job. Okay, let's pretend that you're given a job in a company. And the boss says, okay, so-and-so, you got to do these 10 steps, okay? And then you have to follow it critically, because in the next 2 months, we're going to have this audit and whatever. You got to do it properly, okay? And whatever you have done well will be, there will be a reward for you as you do it properly. And of course, you're all excited. You follow step number 1, step number 2, step number 3, step number 4, step number 5, until number 10. And you've been doing it very well, and all along you follow. Then after a while, you kind of say, "Well, no worries, you know." Then your friend comes and says, "Actually, there's a shortcut way, you know. In our department, we do this. So yeah, actually, we should. It's faster, yeah. Okay. So what you try to do is then you try to kind of deviate a little bit. And after the 2 months, the audit comes, and 1 to 10, you're supposed to maybe receive, just 3 months bonus. All right, let's pretend. All right, based on what you've done." But because you tweak that thing a bit, and the boss comes and say, the boss comes and say, "Hey, you know, you did a good job, you know. But why did you change the step number 5? I told you to follow exactly right. Why did you change?" And then you say, "No, boss, actually, I think it's better, you know." Say, "Yeah, it's better, but I know, you know, the audit officer said you changed it, and so we suffered a setback because of that. And I'm sorry, then you cannot get your full reward." That's what John is saying. Do you realize for every believer there is a full reward? Let's put it this way. When we go to heaven, God already has said, "Look, I've got 20,000 blessings for you. That will be your full reward. But you know, as you serve me and change in certain directions, or you imbibe philosophies that are not from the Bible, or you love in a different way, or you do things in a different way, apart from what is prescribed in the Bible, you may just lose the food." I thank God for one thing. God will reward us for whatever we are obedient to Him for. God will reward us for the little or whatever we're obedient to Him for. But God cannot actually reward us for our disobedience in any area. John wanted to protect this elect lady and her children so that as they serve God with all their hearts, they won't lose their reward because of the deceivers that come in. Does that make sense? Can I say this? An Ambassador Baptist Church, one of the things is, I thank God for our open-heartedness. There are many things that God has allowed us to do on a different basis, and we've reached out our hands to many people. But you know what? We need to start thinking, "Lord, what is your mind as to how much help we give based on your love and your truth?" Okay? And so we need to be careful that John was trying to protect this group of Christians so that they won't lose their full reward. Okay? Isn't it going to be sad if you put in all your effort but in a direction that's wrong? Have you ever set 10 before? You set 10 and you do everything, you spend about all and a half, and in the end the 10 came out. Then one experienced guy came, "Hey, you said the 10 Wrong eh. Actually the waterproof one should be over, not under the 10. It's like, we spent 1.5 hours trying to build this 10. I remember one thing. Oh, this is a very scary illustration, but for me it was very scary. In 1996, remember we actually had to change our IC? For us we had to change our IC, remember? How many remember you had changed your IC, those Singaporeans? Ratina, you remember? Severia? We actually had to change our IC. They were all changing to the pink one. Okay? I queued up for 2 hours at Chong Pang CC. 2 hours. At the end of that, I reached there. It's going to close about 2:45. 3 o'clock it closes. I gave my... After 2 hours, the guy said, "Uncle, your photograph not approved, eh? Because it's not according, you know, there actually has certain criteria for the photograph." He's like, "What?" You know what struck me? What if I live my whole life thinking I'm a Christian? And at the church, God says, "Sorry, no entry." Oh, that really convicted me. But I think you know what I mean. If you spend so much time doing something, at the end of it, whoa, different direction. You know how we can ensure we're in the right direction? stay in the Word. If you don't understand, just stay in the Word. If you don't understand it, just stay in the Word. This is something I've learned. You know, as a Christian, sometimes, let's put it this way. If we understand everything, then we're God. But you know what? God gave us principles that we follow, that even though we don't understand, but if God said it, I'm going to follow it because God knows better than me. Every time I do that, God shows me the blessing later on. Okay? And that's what John wanted the elect lady to do. Now in verse 9, he goes on to actually highlight this. He not only talked about those who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but he goes on to say, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He goes on to say a more severe judgment of these people. He says, the word transgressors means a person who violates a command. You know, a person who breaks a command, okay, transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ. He has in his mind here, the doctrine of Christ here refers to the fact that Jesus Christ is God. But you know, John actually had a bigger application. Anyone who doesn't, the word abide means to persevere in, to stay in the doctrine and teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ that he knows, has not God. That's why he says, John says, a person who would deliberately break a command and then not continue in what he has already learned, that person is not a Christian. That's what John is intimating now. Okay? Now this is a very dangerous principle that John puts, and some people can use that, you know, as a kind of, wow, you can just, as long as you don't stay in our church and all that kind. I'm not saying that. But you know, John is actually looking at the heart of deceivers. He's saying that a person who deliberately breaks a command, knowing that is what Jesus taught, and doesn't want to stay in what Jesus taught, that person is not a Christian. Well, that's scary. That is scary. Read through it carefully. You know, when I teach things like this, people can say this can be a so-called very binding. What it means, only your church. You say, no, I'm not saying that. Please. But according to what the Apostle John is teaching the elect lady, when a person would violate a command of God and choose not to continue in it, that person is not a Christian. Okay? Any questions? Okay, the doctrine of Christ here has to do with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? In general, it's not merely that he come in the flesh, his incarnation, but the people who know and reject the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they go on to teach and preach a doctrine that is not consistent with the teaching, and may I say, the spirit of the Bible. Okay? That's not consistent with the teaching and the spirit of the Bible. Now, it's very hard to judge people like that, but I can tell you that. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and verse number 19, I believe. 1 John chapter 2 verse 19, the Bible says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. Let's put it clearly. I'm not saying this of everyone whom we put out of the church. Okay, I'm not saying this. But John the apostle was making a very startling statement. He says those people, see, in the first century, they had no problems. Truth is truth, error is error. Because they were apostles. If you're not one of the band of the apostles, and you choose to teach something else than what the apostles taught, you are not of what Christ taught. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? In the first century, they had no problems. It was very clear. But we had lots of problems today, because there's this spreading out of different doctrines. But John says, they went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. So John was making a very clear statement here. And so in 2 John, he makes the same thing. If a person violates what he knows to be the doctrine of Christ and doesn't continue in it, that person is not saved. Right? In the first century. Now, but he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And I'm thankful that hopefully, I can't judge your heart, but I would dare venture to say many of you, in fact all of you, except maybe for the children who may not have fully trusted Christ, maybe they are still growing in their understanding and knowledge, Okay, parents, do all you can to ensure your children understand. Don't just know and whisper a prayer or say a prayer. Make sure they understand sin and salvation. But would they venture say most of us here, in fact, all of us are saved, at least as adults. And you are trying to continue in the doctrine of Christ. I'm not saying just because people don't come to church, therefore they are not saved. Okay, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that in their lives, do they show that they love Jesus and they want to continue in His teaching? Listen carefully. You can love Jesus verbally, but it has to be shown in your life. Because God is not interested in lip service. And I've seen that consistently in the Bible. Matthew chapter 15. With their lips they worship me, but their hearts are far from me. You know why? Because there was no evidence of that. Okay? So John wanted to be very clear with them. In verse 10, so what do you do with these people? Alright, sorry, let me just highlight a little bit about verse 9. Example, the Pentecostals, I was just going through a little study. The Pentecostals believe you can lose your salvation. Okay? They believe you can lose your salvation. Now, question, is this consistent with the teaching of the Bible? No. Okay, the Bible is very clear. Once saved, you're always saved. Okay? And make it very clear too, because people may be listening to this message. Just because you're once saved, always saved, doesn't mean that we have the liberty and license to sin. Okay? I think we all understand that. Or in fact, we should be more holy, because if I cannot lose my salvation and I didn't deserve it in the first place, and Jesus Christ loves me so much, then all the more I need to serve Him and love Him. Okay? But, now the query therefore, if you can actually lose your salvation, then how do you get saved in the first place? Did you have to do something? So there's actually a question mark, alright, over the whole thing. I do believe that some Pentecostals will probably be saved. But I dare not say all of them, because if they teach a salvation that you can lose, then it's not of grace. Does that make sense? And God teaches that very clearly. Okay, I just wanted to highlight that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 to 4. Paul says this, but I fear lest by any means, as a serpent or the snake, or Satan has beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. In other words, there's another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. We need to be very careful. Verse 10, so what do we do? If there come any unto you, John says, and bring not this doctrine. You know what you need to do? Two things. Don't welcome him into your house, neither bring him Godspeed. You see, when John said that sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? What do you mean? I don't welcome him. You know what? John says, you need to be careful because, look at verse 11. Anyone who biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. The church in those days meet in houses, and so these itinerant deceivers will go from house to house to spread their equal wickedness. John tells them not to welcome these people. Nor the word Godspeed means to rejoice in the work. Now, it's, oh, good job, man. Well, okay, I won't welcome you, but you know, all the best for you, you know. John says, don't even say that. Why? Because if you say that you're bidding him Godspeed and you are partaker of his evil deeds. In the work, he's not talking about hospitality here. But say, when we welcome them and be hospitable to them, we're actually encouraging them in their erroneous ways. Okay, number one. Number two, when we wish them well, that's what John is saying, we are saying that we agree with their erroneous ways. Okay, I have JW's come to our house before. I tried to kind of speak to them, but because he uses Mandarin, so it's a bit hard. But there was one time when he came to our house and he was looking for my brother. Okay, and I know my brother's a bit gullible in some things. So, it's interesting, they are very avoiding. Okay, when I ask him, who are you? I say, I'm International Bible Students, which is right. Okay, the JWs are also called International Bible Students. Alright? But there's an attempt to cover up. And so there's two of them, so I told them straight, are you JWs, right? I said, yeah. I said, don't you ever come back here and don't look for my brother. I'm saying that to protect my brother. Okay. So apparently he's been entertaining them. And the goal is not to But you know what? What I did was in obedience to what God says here. I didn't like chase them away. I just said, well, basically I chased them and said, please don't come back here. You come back here, I'm sorry, I'll need to call the police because you're illegal in Singapore and you're trying to. I just kind of, I want to make it very sure, don't come back to look for my brother, okay? Because, you know, can I say this? Do you know why it's so serious? You realize when you're indoctrinated by false doctrine, your entire life changes. Your entire life changes and you can die and go to hell. That's why Paul was so serious about this. If you preach another gospel that they have preached, he has preached, let a person be anathema, be condemned to hell. Why? Because when we teach the false truth that is not in the Bible, we condemn a soul to hell. That was why it's so important. And John the Apostle, get this, loved the church so much that he says, look, what you do with these people is don't even allow them to come in to indoctrinate you, to teach you these things. Like push them out. Okay? Push them out. Alright? Does it make sense? And I can tell you, as Ambassador Baptist grow, this is going to happen in our church. We're going to have people who come from all kinds of backgrounds. But I believe that we need to keep love. Okay? The Ephesian church, Revelation 2, lost their first love. We must never lose our love for people, for doctrine. We must never do that. But at the same time, we must stand strong in the truth. Alright? And so that's what John was trying to tell them. Now, in verse 12, he finishes by saying, having many things to write unto you, I will not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. I wrote my notes here. John would rather see them than have cyber fellowship. John would rather see them than comment, than chat on Facebook. In this technological age, it's very easy to... Of course, you can Skype, blah, see face-to-face. Eh, brother Johnny, I got... Why is it still face-to-face? But you know, in those days, can I say this? May we never lose this. One of the things of the busyness of Singaporeans, we lose time with one another. One of the essence of the early church was to spend time together. Church was a priority for the early church. I know there are many duties, things, and as pastor, I think many of us are trying to be cognizant of that, trying to think of that, and trying to know how to even plan the year's program so that people have time to, well, for the different duties God has given to them. Okay? But you know, John says, I'd rather see you face to face. Because you cannot build a relationship without being face to face. You can't. And that's what John says here. In John chapter 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee, amen. This verse seems to indicate that at the beginning of the chapter, when John used the elect lady, he appears to be using what we call an allegory. You know, he says to an elect lady and the children. At the end of the chapter, he says, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Now, those who do literature is probably think, probably there's this connection, okay? So it's my conviction, actually, my inclination to believe. John was using an allegory to protect this anonymous church, the elect lady and the children, and at the end, the children of thy elect sister, another sister church, greet thee. Does that make sense? Okay? So apparently he's actually writing to a group of Christian anonymous. Alright. Now, what are some lessons we can glean from the book of John? Very quickly, love must be according to truth. The truth of God. Love must be according to the truth of God. I'm sure you've got it already. In other words, okay, this is important. We must love the way God wants us to love. We must love the way God wants us to love, because the Bible says, whom I love in the truth. In other words, if we have other ways of loving, they are not consistent with the truth. In fact, they may go against the truth. You know what we need to do? We need to actually put that away. We must love in the truth. Okay, that's actually very clearly stated in verse number 1.
Second lesson, truth must be according to what God commanded. Look at verse 4b. I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Kind of like in the army. Okay, in the army, a standing order is a standing order is a standing order. Your boots must be Kiwi. It must be smart for. Last time, in some uniform, you may have tread that comes out. You know, just small tread that kind of loosen. You know, even that, you have to take scissors and cut off. Standing order. Okay, your bearing must be in a certain way. You must be well-shaven. And last time, my intake will do this. Hey, why so rough, huh? You must go and shave. You know, they're very particular. Because when you're on parade, everything must be... Hey, okay, and of course, the intake is the king of the parade square. You know, everything must go according to what he says. You know, if you don't listen, that's it. He will give it to you or you go inside extra. Alright? I think we understand that. What makes you think that our God, who is all holy, will tolerate any less? Okay? So, truth must be according to what God commanded. We show our love. The next one, okay? This is very important. We show our love to God by walking after His commandments. Oh, Christian, let it sink into your heart till the day you die, when you see Christ. The way we show love for our Lord Jesus Christ is to obey everything that He says. You live our lives in complete obedience to all that He says. From soul winning, to loving, to forgiveness, to keeping a house, to fulfilling our fatherly duty, motherly duty, to doing everything for our children, everything that the Lord, the whole counsel of God. And that's why in Ambassador we try to, on Friday nights we do different things, a lot of the harvest, the last time now we talk about loving the truth, and there are other things which I'm trying to aim for so that we cover a counsel of God. We can never finish teaching God's word. I think the financial principles and all that from the Bible, we need to be taught. But you know what? We need to be obedient. The point is, we show our love to God when we walk after His commandments. In other words, when we obey God. I cannot underemphasize this. Neither can I overemphasize this. Obedience to God is number one priority for the Christian. Okay, because Jesus is you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. Okay, lesson number four. How we encourage our pastor and help him rejoice when we obey God and follow His word. Alright, in verse number 4, I rejoice greatly, John says, that I found out thy children walking in truth. How we encourage our pastor and help him rejoice when we obey God and walk in His truth. That's what God says. And can I share my heart? I carry burdens every day when Christians don't walk in God's truth. That's my heart. And I say it sincerely. Because I know trouble's coming. Because when we don't go this way, Satan's always there to derail you. I'm not saying that I'm the most holy one, but I say this from my heart. I carry burdens when children of God don't walk and obey God. Parents, you do that too. When you know your children are not walking right, not studying hard, and doing things that are not right. And what makes you think God in heaven doesn't carry that burden? Why do you think Jesus intercedes for us every moment? And what do you think He intercedes for us? John says, I rejoice greatly that I found evidence of thy children walking in truth. Your goal is not to please the pastor. Your goal is to please Jesus Christ. And I'm not looking for you to please me. I'm looking for you to please Christ. Because when I know that you're doing what God tells you to do. You know, that's why I was stunned when my mom says, going out, so winning. I'll be honest with you. She forgets. Even after I teach her. I ask her, when you become a Christian, after you baptize, when I baptize her, what? No. She gets all waffly and all that because of her age. But you know what? You know, she's beginning to use things like, let me just read one part of what she actually SMS you. It's an encouragement. I hope it is to you. I just had to she says
Hi Johnny, when my flu is okay, I would like to join you trekking every Wednesday. She says this, I want to learn and do Lord Jesus Christ's work. That's what she said. I don't know how she will press forward. In terms of her eyes can't see properly at night. But she wants to come and learn to do Lord Jesus Christ's work. Okay, in the simplest way that she can say. You know, even if that is inexpressible joy, that she wants to just do. Probably she will not do it all the time because of her tiredness and she does have pain in the legs every time. But if she wants to do that, I thank God. Because only the Holy Spirit can move in that. Of course, you need to pray that she will persevere in that, because you know sometimes people go up and down, you know. Can I encourage you? Love Christ. Encourage the pastor. Beware of this. Lesson number 5. Beware of deceivers and those who profess to know Christ by violate and does not stay in the doctrines of Christ. They say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, you know. But, well, I don't really agree with this. Well, you can't. You're a Christian means you obey if everything Jesus says, even though you don't understand. And can I say this? Sometimes, whatever God tells us, we may not fully understand and we cannot even fully grasp. Our heart may not be even fully at peace with that. But you know what? If God, that's what God says, we do it. Okay? Because that's what God says. Alright? And that's something we need to learn. We need to, to obey God in verse number 10. When we know that, for example, maybe a cultist is very obvious. Okay, a person comes and says, I'm sorry, I cannot let you into my house. I'm sorry, I cannot sit down with you. I'm sorry. You can apologize, be as nice as you want, but God says, don't welcome them and don't wish them well. You know, there are a lot of people, like, you know, the Muslims will come and whatever and say, oh, all the best kind of thing. I mean, if they say to us, it's fine, but you know, we're not to say to them. Not that we're being unkind. You know, it goes against common courtesy, right? I mean, if you wish me well, I should wish you well, right? Not according to the Bible. Because if you say that, of course, many of us will probably our courtesy just say so that we don't kind of. We need to be very careful because God actually says physically you are not to wish them. And that's obedience to the scriptures. Am I being dogmatic? I'm just saying what God tells us to do. That's obedience to the Bible. There are two brands of Christianity in terms of obedience today. I only obey the spirit of the Bible, another one says obey the word of the Bible. I'm one who believes that we need to obey both. When God said it, we do it even though we don't understand. Okay? Because if this is the literal word of God, the preserved word of God, God we know is inspired of God, and the translators actually gave it to us in its fullness, then that's what we find in the Hebrew Bible, and therefore we do it just like the Hebrew, when the Jewish people, when they obeyed the 613 laws, it's literal. If you steal something, you pay back twice. Alright? If you murder someone, you're stoned to death. Full stop. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. The high priest would just do that. That's why. So sometimes Joshua, not this Joshua, Joshua of the Bible, okay? Joshua will say, look, Achan, give glory to God. What did you do? You know? And say, well, I took out the Babylonian's garment and said, well, you know, you shouldn't have done that. What did he do? Took out everything, you know, the father, the mother, the donkeys, and everyone put in and stoned them to death. That's what God said. That's what they did. And what makes us think that in the New Testament, God means any less. Okay? And so we need to actually up our willingness to follow God's word. Okay? Lesson number 7. Face-to-face contact and fellowship is a biblical model. Brother Donnie, that's very hard. I know it's very hard. Okay? Do Skype if you have to. Face-to-face. You know what? We need to meet more. As we grow as a church, the first level of these 50 members we have, we need to be strengthened in our relationship with one another. We must make sure that Satan doesn't give us any reason for us to tear us apart. Because let's put it this way, if our foundation is weak, and then you put in another 200 people, it will break. Does that make sense? You know, when there comes a time, if God calls me to be the pastor of the church for the next whatever, Bible truth and biblical love must be our foundation. Because then Jesus is the foundation. Your philosophy, my philosophy of life doesn't matter. God's word matter because we are building the church, not our own lives. Does that make sense? We need to build our lives on Christ. Now, appreciate the love. Now, I will say this, I know you love me and I love you too. I mean, in a practical way, not just like, oh, I love you. That kind, you know, I don't believe we do that. But you know, we care for one another and in a practical way. And hopefully many Christians will see that. In fact, I think many Christians actually see that. That's why they're coming. You know, one of the things, I hope I'm not kind of saying, you know, sometimes you say that it doesn't happen anymore. I don't believe that. I thank God that we are a church that are way out and people are still coming. That's God. You know, it shows me that, well, we are doing something right. Amen. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we carry burdens all the time. Yes, we had to we meet until midnight last night for the youth. And people got to scramble for a lot of the VBS stuff and all that. But you know what? When lives get changed, I can tell you there's joy. Amen? So, but you know what? We need to... One of the ways of actually meeting each other is to work together. I'm thankful for people who are helping in different areas of ministry, and just like Sister Jamie has mentioned, thanking God for people who kind of just do it, you know. I don't know about it, but just do it, just put their hand to the plow and say, here I am, God, use me. And we thank God for everyone. You know, every one of you have done something for the Lord. Can I encourage you to keep it up? Yeah, it may be much, it may be little, but little is much when God is in it. Okay? And you know what? The more we work together, the face-to-face contact will encourage us in the Lord. One final one, in verse 2, the final lesson, number 8, truth is with us forever. On two levels, number 1, the Bible says truth refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Truth is with us forever. Verse 2, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. In other words, when you are stumbling, truth is with you. Truth to guide you in your life, and truth to be your comfort. Amen? I give you a truth when you're in trouble. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength. It both tells you the truth of Christ and it tells you the reality of His presence, because He is our refuge. A very, present help in times of need. The word present means He is instantaneous. He's just there beside you. A very present help. In other words, at a call, He's there. Alright? Not only do you know the truth of God's word in that, but you can actually experience the reality. And many of us have done that. Okay? So, any questions as we close next week? We will finish 3 John. Hopefully this is an encouragement for us to study the word, go into it, and I'm just praying about next year how to actually do the Friday night and whether God wants us to change. But I think we need to go into the word. So we understand what the word says. Just follow the word. Alright? Any questions? A Christian, love in the truth. And may truth guide you in everything that you do. Alright? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that it might be an encouragement to Christians. Yes, we are required to follow. And sometimes the best thing to do is, Lord, this is what I think. But if that's what your word says, Father, I'm just going to follow what your word says. And Father, thank you for your blessings thus far. Oh Lord, how we need your blessings. But we know, Lord, blessings come only by obedience to you. And I thank you for every Christian here who tries their best, Father, to be obedient to you in their daily lives. And Father, I pray you strengthen everyone as they seek to walk in the truth of Christ. As they seek to walk in the ways of Christ. As they seek, Father, to love in the truth. I pray you protect every big-hearted Christian, Lord, with the truth. That, Father, they will not be deceived by the people that will come and try to take advantage, perhaps, Father, of their kindness. Help us be loving, Lord, but help us to be governed in the truth. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in Ambassador. Thank you for the lovely Christians who are here today. Father, I pray that you will bless every one of them. In every one of their difficulties, Father, I pray that you will lift them up. Give them solutions, Father, that will be both practical and that will have effective results. Father, I pray for every burden, Lord, that any of the Christians here may carry. O Lord, you said that you will bear their burdens. You are with them. You say to cast all your cares upon you, for you care for us. And so, Lord, I, on behalf of them, I pray that I just ask that you take their burdens from them and help them to have peace in Christ. Help them to be fully convinced of their verse in Philippians chapter 4. To be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that let all your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, and the peace of God which passes all understanding, will keep their hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us, Lord. For those who can't make it tonight, I pray, Lord, that you will bless them. Father, I pray that you will open their hearts to your word and your love. And for us who are here today, help us to be faithful to your word first, and then to love based on your word. And help us not to be like the Ephesian church who, as much as they stood on truth, help us never to lose the first love for Christ, for one another, for the lost. Now thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take some prayer requests.